It's the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson.
Now, while this is all going on, I went through President Trump's speech and Chuck and Nancy's rebuttal.
The most important story.
The American people finally said enough, and that is why they elected Donald Trump.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Britain's version of Medicare for All is struggling with long waits for care.
And opinions and ideas that prepare you to tackle the day ahead.
Because ideas matter.
It's the AmeriChicks, dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson. We've got a great show planned for you today. I'm wishing you a very happy Monday. In studio with me is Roger Bianco. He is a friend. We met each other through leadership program The Rockies.
Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah, so it's great to have you here.
Great to have you. Happy day after Mother's Day.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, it was a great day.
Yeah.
All kinds of great wishes, so wonderful.
Fun stuff.
So we'll be talking about something that is near and dear to your heart in the third and fourth segment, and that is property rights.
Yeah. That's a big one.
Yeah, it's a big one. And it's important to continue to think about this because there is a real assault on property rights right now, particularly here in Colorado.
Yes, absolutely, with all the environmental stuff going on. And then even beyond just your physical things, this is a hill I think we have to die on.
So it'll be a great conversation on that.
Yeah.
So before we get into all this, be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com. Sign up for my emails. Appreciate it if you would like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. And thank you to everybody that came out for the Stand for Colorado event on Friday afternoon. The Weather Committee did a great job. It was a beautiful afternoon. And thank you to all the volunteers and the speakers. It was really a terrific event. And people are already saying, when are you going to do this again? And it's kind of like a wedding or a big event you put on. It's like, well, I think I'll wait just a little bit to do that, you know. But it was really, really, really great. So thank you, everyone. And thank you to the team, to Zach and to Steve and Patty and Keith for keeping this train on the track. Greatly appreciate that as well. So our quote for inspiration today, we're going to be coming in on the Indianapolis 500 here very soon. So Mario Andretti, one of the most successful race car drivers ever, said, "Desire is the key to motivation, but it's determination and commitment to an unrelenting pursuit of your goal, a commitment to excellence that will enable you to attain the success that you seek." I thought that was pretty darn good.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. Okay, Steve, producer Steve, are you ready for today's funnies?
Bring it on.
Okay.
I feel like Eeyore this morning.
Monday morning.
I've got three for you. Okay, first of all, people think that icy is the easiest word to spell. Come to think of it, I-C-Y.
Jeez.
My teachers told me that I'd never amount to anything because I procrastinate so much. And I told them, just you wait. And what is a teacher's three favorite words? June, July, and August.
There you go. And a mother's least favorite words.
That's
June,
right.
July, and August. Yeah.
That's true.
Or at least my wife's least favorite words.
That's true. I remember summers, they could get a little long sometimes. So what are we going to do today is what moms say. So, okay, Roger, let's jump in here to some of these headlines that we have. Last week, you know, was the tragic shooting at the STEM school in Highlands Ranch. And it has been really interesting to me. I have had moms reach out to me and say, we need to do something. And, you know, last time you were on, we talked about the Overton window.
Yeah.
I think the Overton window is taking a big movement back to freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's taking a big movement towards probably arming teachers and staff that want to be trained to do that. I've heard numerous women who have typically been against, you know, having teachers armed, all of a sudden say, wait, we can't let this happen anymore. I talked to a mom. She reached out to me via our website, and I talked to her on Saturday afternoon, and she said, I am ready to do something. She said, every day when I drop my kids off at school, I'm concerned whether or not they're going to come home.
Yeah.
And Roger, that is not okay.
That is
absolutely not okay.
No, I have my wife and I have three kids in the Douglas County School District, same district as STEM, and I got probably 20 notes, calls, Facebook messages from friends asking me if my kids were okay. It was a hectic couple hours. And of course, I'm out of town. And that was just the perfect thing for a father of kids that are going through that. But we had a good conversation Thursday night, I believe it was, or Friday night when I got home on that very issue. Okay, so I think there is this kind of general sense of exasperation at this point.
There is.
Because there's so much media coverage of this, and you know, it's a drama that unfolds all too often and all too consistently, and so people are, it's a sense of doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that's where we can make big mistakes in governance. And so this is one where I think the best solution does seem to be finding to immobilize and to neutralize and to eradicate a threat that walks into a school, an evil. I'm not going to call it a threat. This is evil. An evil that walks into a school. You have to have something that's quicker and something on site, I think, than calling 911 and having that. And I don't know exactly what that is, but arming teachers is certainly a way to immediately have a counterweight, an immediate counterweight, or a staff, I should say, not necessarily, and arming teachers is probably too broad, but you get the idea.
Right. And so with what Laura Carno is doing with her FASTA program, we had her on last Wednesday. And then it was really a powerful show on Friday when we talked to Jan Brown. She's a friend of mine. She was working as an aide in the fourth grade class at the STEM school.
Wow.
And it was, she was my inspiration for the day because she said as she was sitting there with the children, they were all huddled with the teacher, her and the children. She said, if that shooter comes through the door, she was looking around. She said, I will stand between these children and him. And so we need to, people that want to be, and the training that Laura does with FASTER is in those particular situations, they actually have to perform better. Their testing is higher than what it is for that small component than law enforcement. And I tell you, I think that people that want to be armed to do that, to take it, to you know, stop a threat, I think that we need to let that happen.
Well, and as a parent, I mean, these are my children, and it's an unfortunate reality of life that we have to say that they need to be protected in school, but that is a reality of life. And so if a teacher decides, I mean, I would be eternally grateful and over the moon with thankfulness and gratefulness toward a teacher who wanted to step in that gap, absolutely, and who wanted to put themselves between, you know, my daughter talked to me about a teacher of hers in their school who's across the district, other side of the town, other side of Highlands Ranch, but about how he would you know, he has a bat in his room, and I thought, oh, that's great. I mean, the courage of the teacher is worthy of national note and honor. But I the bat is just not quite the defense mechanism that I would want him to have. You know, I would want him to know how to use a firearm. And I don't like the, I mean, that's what they are. They're firearms. They're not guns. And I want him to use know how to use a firearm and have a firearm.
Steve, do you have a comment?
Okay. Let me preface this. I don't know that there is a political fix to this, what I call a very moral problem.
Yeah.
But something caught my attention yesterday. And again, I shouldn't say where I'm getting this stuff. But on Facebook, Senator Cory Booker says he's fed up with this simplistic response, thoughts and prayers. And my first thought was, gee, Mr. Senator Booker, maybe some of those thoughts and prayers are for leadership that would actually help solve a problem like this.
Well, the other thing about this that, and then we had Jim Lewis on in the third and fourth segment, because what we hear is mental health. And so I asked Jim, he's a licensed professional counselor. He's been in the business for 23 years. And he said, and so I asked him, what is mental health? And he said, do you know, nobody has ever asked me that question. And he said that basically, and the foundations for good mental health are family, faith, and community. And Roger, those are the things that have really been under assault in our society. And And then what we're seeing in our schools, I'm going to have Roberta Sutton on Thursday. She's written a book. She does a lot of substitute teaching. And it's what you don't know, what parents don't know that their kids don't know. And as I was reading the book, in one of the English classes, instead of, you know, reading the great literature, they are reading all these dark, dark things. And so I think that, and we're also seeing all the suicide with our young people. Mm. When I was young, I don't recall anybody ever committing suicide.
Not a single one. I remember in high school, we lost one student who tragically died in a home fire. But that was it. No suicide.
And so there's something underlying that we really need to address as a society. And I really think that it's been this movement into relativism, this movement away from actually focusing on the things about America that's made America good, that the things that as Mario Andretti said, that you know, we strive for excellence. And I think that we're teaching a lot of these kids. I mean, you know, I hear them many times, you go into the doctor, are you depressed? Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I think that they're almost putting forward that, you know, that idea. And I think we're seeing that play out in our schools now.
Yeah, I mean, even the books that they're reading on the American Revolution, they're not reading about the ideas. They're not reading about why did we fight this war? I mean, it was a war, and it like all war, it was loaded with tragedy and a significant human cost. The price was high. So why did we choose to pay it? Like that one of my daughters brought home a book probably 5-6 years ago. That was in middle school. And the book was The American Revolution from a... She's not written or read anything previous to this on the American Revolution. And she knew a couple of the whys, but not really Declaration of Independence whys. And she had this book that was written about the American Revolution from the lens of a pacifist. And I thought, well, I would think that would be the wrong lens to look at the American Revolution through, because a pacifist would always conclude you shouldn't fight.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think the ideas that generation of Americans fought for were timeless and important. We'll talk about property today, but there was no, unless I gave it to her,
right?
Which I did, and I gave it to my other daughter, and you know, my kids kind of roll their eyes at dad here. She would not have gotten the ideas that we fought for in at least a meaningful way. I just feel like it's out of balance, and so the point being that. I think what I heard you say, Kim, was the pursuit of beauty, and that really should be what education is about, the pursuit of truth, the pursuit of beauty, of beautiful things. And it's not. I just would recommend anyone who wants to understand a little bit more about what beauty is to go on to YouTube and search Hillsdale College Aristotle Ethics and watch the first two lectures of Dr. Larry Arn, who's president of Hillsdale College, talking about Aristotle's ethics and the students around the table. It was a great little discussion seminar that they had. But they talk about the pursuit. All things should pursue good. And that's
beauty.
And that was what Aristotle's basis was for writing that work. And are we still pursuing good? That's a question we should always ask and always be prepared to find the real answer.
Totally agree with you on that, Roger Bianco. We're going to go to break and continue with our conversation and go through some of these headlines here. Before we do it, though, in Game 7 of their series with Portland, the Nuggets trailed behind the entire fourth quarter and could just not get enough shots to hit the basket, so their season is over. Portland advances. The Rockies took two from the Padres over the weekend, and they're headed to Boston for a two-game series with the Red Sox. And so it is still, though, the basketball playoffs and NHL, even though our guys aren't in there. But what a great time to chill out, kick back, and watch some sports. And Hooters Restaurants is my sports headquarters. It's the place to watch all the games. Wednesday's Wing Day, all the wings you can eat for $14.99. And the smoked wings, they are delish and only half the calories. And Hooters wings can fly. You can have them delivered right to your front door. You can stop by and pick them up and take them home. Or you can stay at the restaurant and watch the game. So more information, visit HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. Let them know that you know the AmeriChicks. And we will be right back with Roger Bianco. We're going to go through some more headlines and then talk about property rights.
All AmeriChicks sponsors are an exclusive partnership with the AmeriChicks and are not affiliated or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson and grow your business, contact Kim at AmeriChicks.com. That's AmeriChicks.com.
The mortgage process can be stressful, and with a potential increase in interest rates, it's more important than ever to get pre-qualified now so you're ready to buy. Call Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook with Home Mortgage Alliance to make sure you are making the right financial choice for you and your family. 303-517-7173. With over 30 years of combined experience, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook of Home Mortgage Alliance have the knowledge and expertise to explore the many financing options available to you. They will remain available 7 days a week, and they will always respond quickly to your calls because they pride themselves on their excellent customer service. Choose the only mortgage professionals recommended by the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson. Call Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook with Home Mortgage Alliance today, 303-517-7173. 303-517-7173.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For over 30 years, entrepreneur, stylist, and AmeriChick Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game and freshen your look, email Kim at AmeriChicks.com for your initial style consult. Kim at AmeriChicks.com.
Oh, Charlie, he pulled those Westerns for me. I love it. So welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson, where we dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation. And Roger Bianco is in studio. We're going to be having a conversation about property rights in segments 3 and 4. Let's just talk a little bit more about this this issue with the STEM school shooting, though. Kendrick Castillo, I mean, these three young men, they decided they were going to do something. My friend Jan Brown, they decided they were going to do something. You know, when on 9/11, you know, that last plane, they decided they were going to do something. There's something inherently, in a way, I think it's American about fight. And it's amazing to me that Kendrick Castillo, you know, they decided to go ahead and go after the gunman. And I mean, they stopped this guy from killing other kids. Yeah. And it was a pretty big deal. And so, and Kendrick had indicated that he wanted to be an engineer. So the Colorado School of Mines is establishing a scholarship in his honor, which I think is very, very good.
Yeah.
And another one here, there was this third student, and he was wounded twice in the leg during this last shooting. And he said, I chose to run towards him. Joshua Jones, 18, said on Good Morning America that he never thought about how he would react in a school shooting until he was confronted by the harrowing circumstances on Tuesday at the Highlands Ranch STEM school in suburb of Denver. And he said, when it actually happened, I had to make that decision that nobody should ever have to make, which was run toward the gunman or run away from him. And I chose to run towards him. And Roger, during the break, you said something about, this is amazing, these kids, you know, they said, we're going to fight.
Yeah. There's the first thing, I mean, I couldn't imagine being in these families or being the parents of these kids. I can't even fathom, just having kids in the district, what was, you know, close enough for thousands upon thousands of parents. It, is a difficult few hours. You know, me being out of town and helpless, trying to monitor and figure out mm-hmm. how my wife's going to pick them up and how that process was going and everything. What these kids demonstrated was a willingness to fight. And so it seems like there is, maybe it's natural, I don't know. And some people, I guess it is. You'd have to have some sort of psychologist on to figure that out. But there is a willingness to fight, and there is a willingness to see something that is bad and that is evil, and then to get rid of it. And these three courageous young kids did that. And I love the account. I think this is also a quote from Good Morning America. He says, quote, I saw the gunman. This is Joshua Jones. I saw the gunman come in the room brandishing a weapon and saying, nobody move, Jones said. And then I saw Kendrick and Brent and Brendan, get up. And, you know, I was right there with them. We rushed him, period. We rushed him. They had to make a decision that no one should have to make. That's right. No one should have to make it, but we're making it. And so I think we need to be able to make the decision correctly. There's a will to fight. I just don't think that, and I'm not saying you want to arm students, that please don't take me literally on that, but there should be, at least where there is a will to fight, there should be the tools supplied for that will to fight. And the analogy that I used was, I can look at my car if it's not working, and I could think to myself, God, I really want to fix my car. And I can open up the hood, and I can put my nose in, and I can tool around a little bit, but I honestly don't have the tools or the knowledge or the expertise to get the job done. Mm-hmm. And so but I have a will to, so I could learn. I could learn how to get the job done and start my car again. It's a very crude, very meaningless metaphor relative to the meaningfulness of this situation we're talking about that illustrates that there could be, where there is that will to fight, there could be adults who are there and if they were given the skills and the tools, defend. And that's...
Well, and, you know, the other thing, I mean, this youth, I mean, you look at these three young guys, but what about these kids that walked out on these two politicians that tried to politicize this whole thing? You saw the vigil, you know, and this is totally orchestrated by gun control groups to have this quote unquote vigil. And the kids went there in good faith thinking, you know, it was sold to them. It was a vigil in honor of Kendrick. And when these two politicians, Senator Bennett, who's running for president, and Congressman Crow, decided to politicize it, these kids got up and walked out.
Good for them.
So there is something on this Overton window. Something is changing. The number of moms that have reached out to me, the number of moms that I've heard that have said, and I think that school boards need to start to listen. That, you know what, they have a responsibility to make sure that those kids are safe. This is not okay. This is not okay that we send our kids to school, our teachers to school, and we're concerned that that they won't come home. And the mother that I talked to, she said, every day, yeah, I am so concerned. So let's run through a few more other things on the headlines. First of all, this was late breaking. Many of you may know that Rochelle Galindo, who is, a senator from, I can't remember if she's House of Representatives or senator, from up in Weld County. And they've been working on potentially recalling her. And so she resigned yesterday under sexual misconduct allegations. So that's going to be interesting. I actually think that's probably some politics there, because I think very possibly they would have been successful in that recall. And so with her resignation, then that means the Democrats can now put somebody else in there. So that way they continue to maintain their majorities on that. Another thing, speaking of Weld County, Reuters has reported that this new Colorado environmental law is stalling oil investment. And it's like, of course, we knew that was going to happen. It says, new environmental regulations in Colorado have chilled investment in the state's oil and gas fields. Colorado now ranks fifth among U.S. states in oil production, about 500,000 barrels per day, up from 90,000 barrels in 2010. That boom, however, has come just as state politics have shifted to the left with an influx of urbanites who tend to oppose fossil fuel development. The resulting uncertainty over how local authorities will use their newfound power has nearly halted energy deal activity, including acreage purchases. I think that we're going to start to see, I'm starting to hear people move out of the state. And we've seen oil and gas, big oil and gas, have been moving their dollars to other areas, yeah, whether or not it's other part of the country or other part of the world. And I think that this is going to be very difficult for the Colorado economy eventually.
Well, it's already starting. You're starting to see it here. ConocoPhillips tried to sell its Colorado acreage for more than $1 billion late last year, but failed to find a buyer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's really not a good symptom. I mean, that's a great way to increase government dependency and make our society here in Colorado less healthy.
Well, and we'll talk about property rights on that as well. A couple of other things. Let's see. The Colorado Business Chamber leaders weigh in on the legislature's 2019 session, and Kelly Breaux said that private, public, and nonprofit sectors have to all be successful for all of us to succeed. We want to do it together. She said, we will disagree sometimes and maybe not even find a place to agree, but we can still do that with respect. But one of the things that the chamber is supporting is the debrucing measures. That's going to be the assault on Tabor, which is the Taxpayer Bill of Rights. And the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, Roger, is one of those things that was put in place to protect property, if you will. And you can see politicians and bureaucrats on both sides of the aisle. They do not want to honor Tabor, the Taxpayer Bill of Rights. And so there's going to be a real assault on that. And I always thought Chamber of Commerce meant that they were, you know, pro-business.
Yeah.
But that's not what I'm seeing out of the Denver Chamber. They really are using politicians and bureaucrats to make government bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
So, okay. Then another thing, there has been a bit of a brouhaha within the Colorado GOP regarding the election of the GOP chair. Ken Buck won that, and then he has Steve House, who is really going to be carrying that out since Ken Buck is our congressman. But Susan Beckman, who also was competing for that, there's been some questions about ballots and a variety of things. And so I really think the Republican Party needs to get this answered, because there's mistrust right now, and there's no way that you can be successful if you don't have trust. And so Representative Buck has tapped Representative Mark Baisley, a state representative of Roxborough Park, to assemble a panel to examine these allegations. And hopefully they can get this figured out and get the answers on that and get to a point where people are, you know, understand that they're happy with that answer and they can move on.
I see Craig Steiner is going to be helping out Representative Baisley, and they're both good people. If there's something to be gotten to the bottom of, my hope and prayer is that they do, because there is within kind of grassroots, right of center, center right kind of movements, a lot of skepticism about the Colorado Republican Party, its effectiveness. So I think that it seems at least like the right people have been put into this position. You know, Representative Baisley seems to be a pretty straightforward, tremendously knowledgeable person who has
a no-nonsense guy.
Yeah, no-nonsense guy who has a great foundation for what government should rightfully do and should not do. And Craig, I know, shares a lot of those things. And Craig is an absolute whiz. He created a software program that has helped party organizations all throughout the state. It looks like a good group.
A good panel. So
for what that's worth.
So we're going to go to break here in just a minute. Before we do that, though, Jason McBride is on the line with us. Good morning, Jason McBride.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Kim?
Good, good. Hey, thanks so much for being at the Stanford Colorado Rally. I got to meet your wife and two of your kids, so thanks for being there.
Yeah, and you say the same thing everyone does, how lucky I am, how I married up, all that. Did anybody ever think that might hurt a guy's feelings?
You know, after I said that to you, I thought, I hope I didn't hurt Jason's feelings.
I think you know me better than that, huh?
I think so. So, hey, yeah. What's on your mind?
Well, two things, Kim. One is the markets. Friday was pretty interesting. We started off taking another beating in the morning, but then I'd been talking about how we'd been reversing back up. Friday, we actually turned around and ended up positive for the day. It was almost as impressive as Portland's comeback against the Nuggets last night. But this morning, it looks like we're in trouble again. Looks like the Dow's going to start off down about 400 points. Maybe 500, but we'll see what occurs by the end of the day. And a lot of this has to do with the tariffs again, Kim.
Well, that was my question, if it was because of the tariffs and what they're trying to get figured out on that.
Well, you know, one thing that I'm not hearing that seems to me to be common sense on the tariffs, I mean, here's kind of how it works. Taylor and I talked about this on the podcast on Friday. Let's say that an American company is going to import some plastic umbrellas from China, as an example. Well, there's a 6.5% tariff on those umbrellas, and maybe a lot of people know the way this works, but maybe they don't. So what happens is the American importer pays China the $500 for the umbrellas. Well, the tariff is $32.50, so the American company, Kim, pays the U.S. government or the Commerce Department the $32.50, so their total purchase price is $532.50. Does that make sense so far?
Okay, I'm following you.
So if the tariffs go up to 25%, well, now the total purchase price would be $625. And it's really just kind of being posted as if that entire $125 increase will be passed completely through to the American consumer. That, well, there's no way this is hurting China, it's only hurting America. But I think folks are forgetting one thing, Kim. You're a business owner. If all of a sudden your price was going to go up $125 because of a tariff, I'm going to imagine you're going to go back to China, who is selling the goods to you, and say, hey, I can't pay $500. You're going to have to come down on your price, too, to help keep these prices in line. So I disagree. I think that the tariffs, yeah, there may be some increase borne by American consumers, but I think China's going to get hit on these, too, because our business owners here in America aren't stupid. They aren't just going to say, no, we'll pay the whole $500 and stick it all to our customers. I don't buy it.
Okay, that is really interesting. That seems like a common sense, and I've never heard anybody explain it quite that way, Jason McBride.
Well, common sense. You know, I never thought it took me. We've been hearing about these tariffs for a year and a half, and it just occurred to me on Friday.
Well, I think that that's pretty brilliant. So if you want to hear more of or talk to Jason about more of his words of wisdom, you can reach him or at chickspresidential.com is our landing page, chickspresidential.com. I'm going to be thinking about this all day, Jason. That's pretty amazing.
Sometimes, well, and I may be wrong, too. I'm just guessing, but it does make common sense. And sometimes those easiest things that should be right under your nose are the hardest ones to come to the front of your brain sometimes.
You know, I know that is true. So, Jason McBride, thank you so much. We will talk to you tomorrow. And the phone number over there is 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600. And any of the good folks over at Presidential Wealth Management would be happy to talk to you about your nest egg. So, Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show.
Okay, thanks so much. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to have a great conversation with Roger Bianco about property rights. This is something that was so important to the American idea, and I think it gets lost sometimes in 2019 America. So we'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect your private property rights. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Since losing her mother to breast cancer, Karen Levine has helped to organize a local fundraising event called Karen's for the Cure, raising money for breast cancer research. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson, so call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516. Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson with the AmeriChicks at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. And coming soon, Vino and Veritas in Northern Colorado. Know why you believe what you believe and be able to have conversations with friends, family, and colleagues. The AmeriChicks with Kim Munson would like to thank Bullets Both Ways in Centennial and Otto Fireguard in Castle Rock for sponsoring this fascinating study of the U.S. Constitution. Sign up today at AmeriChicks.com.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson as we dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation. Be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com. Sign up for my emails and be sure and like me on Facebook and Twitter as well at the AmeriChicks. And just a quick note, James Takeda, he has been keeping everybody informed regarding all of the petition signing events. And so if you want more information on that, for example, for the national popular vote, go to coloradanvote.org. That's coloradanvote.org. And he has all the different locations where people can go and sign those petitions, and they could really use your help on that. So, Roger Bianco, it is so good to have you in studio. You and I know each other from Leadership Program of the Rockies, which really it's an organization that they select 65 students each year, and they bring in national speakers to talk about the vision of the Declaration of Independence, what that meant, why is capitalism good? You know, there's been such an assault on both those things. And so it's great to come together and really kick the tires on those ideas. And I really learned a lot from that. So that's how we first met.
Yeah, we met in Leadership Program of the Rockies. You were class of 2013?
2012.
2012. I was class of 2014. And I know you've talked about LPR here a lot on your show over the years as I've listened. But if you want more information, anyone out there wants more information, go to leadershipprogram.org. That's all one word, leadershipprogram.org. And applications for the class now of 2020. Wow, time is flying.
Hard to believe.
Due at the end of August.
Right.
And so then the class kicks up in interviews in September, class kicks in. And so a lot of this stuff that I heard, what I'm going to show you here on James Madison and this whole idea on property, I went through it. I was 42 years old. This is, so everyone can do the math now
I'm
about how old I am.
I'm not telling what age I was when I went through. Okay.
But the point being, that's middle-aged. And I had never heard what property was considered at the founding and why that's important. And so a lot of these ideas at the founding, I think it's inadequate for people who look at the founding of the country with reverence to say, these ideas are important because they were there at the founding, because the founders did it. Well, you know, the founders were just people. In fact, they recognized they were just people. That's why they structured government the way that they did. They want the people to have sovereignty, but they didn't want any individual power source to be overwhelming any other individual power sources. And so they created jealousy and checks and balances the way it's described. But the point being, because they did it isn't reason enough for us to revere these ideas, right? There has to be a timelessness to it. So let me just give you a story here. So my brother's an actor, and I love my brother. We don't see eye to eye politically on pretty much anything other than my libertarian bent and his libertarian bent that both coexist. But the point being, he doesn't like the founding because it's old. You know, and I've heard a lot of people say this. I've had conversations with people in airports and on airplanes about how it's old. The Constitution is old. And I always think that with actors and other friends of mine who are also actors, I've made the comment, well, do you ever do any Shakespeare? And they say, well, yeah, of course. I mean, my brother's done every Shakespearean sonnet. He is an incredibly talented actor out of the city of Chicago. And he says, yeah, I mean, you know, I've done a ton of them. I said, well, what about those do you like? And the conversation ensued that Shakespeare talks about things which are timeless: love, lust, greed, benevolence, fear, anxiety, anger, jealousy, rage, you know, all these things that apply just as they did today, they applied as they did in his time. That's what made them timeless. I think what the founders did was governmental Shakespeare, so to speak. They did hit, it wasn't perfect, but they did hit on many things that are timeless. And this concept of property, established the American ideal of property, which I believe applies today, perhaps more than it did then, just as I think the Second Amendment applies today more than it did then, not less, more. And so with your permission,
yes, do.
I'm going to read from James Madison's essay on property. And I don't know if this makes great radio, but we're going to go through and do this. Written March 29th of 1792. So the Constitution has been ratified, or they're in the fight, I think, to ratify the Constitution.
Right.
We're starting to establish the government, but still kind of drifting. And Madison comes out with this essay, very brief essay. University of Chicago publishes it. Anyone can get it online. And he talks about property this way. And so he says, quoting James Madison, this term property in its particular application means, quote, that dominion which one man claims and exercises over the external things of the world in exclusion of every other individual, end quote. He says, in its larger and juster meaning, it embraces everything to which a man may attach a value and have a right, and which leaves to everyone else the like advantage, so we can all have property. In the former sense, a man's land or merchandise or money is called his property. There is the definition that in the 21st century most people think of when they think of property: your car, your home, your stuff, your land that you might have, farmland, whatever it is. That's what most people think property is. But here's where Madison brings in the American ideal of property, which is that plus, quoting James Madison again, in the latter sense, a man has a property in his opinions and the free communication of them. He has a property of peculiar value in his religious opinions and in the possession and practice dictated by them. Now, isn't that interesting? He's saying property is not just the stuff you have. Property is what's in your mind and what's in your heart. It's what you believe and it's what you think. Then he goes on. He has a property very dear to him in the safety and liberty of his person. So we have, back to the discussion on what we just talked about earlier, we have property in ourselves, right? We have the right, he's establishing there a right to kind of defend yourself, among other things. He has an equal property in the free use of his faculties, so a free use of his mind, and free choice on the objects on which to employ them. So we all have a right to take our minds, create something with them, and that thing that we create is property. We call this, I was going to open quotes, close quotes, intellectual property. You know, you talked earlier about the tariff issue, and one of the centerpieces there is intellectual property. In a word, and this is really the key sentence of, in my opinion, of this whole essay. He says, in a word, as a man is said to have a right to his property, he may be equally said to have property in his rights. Now, what he did there, in my mind, every time I read that, I think of two links, two unbreakable links of a chain. The one link is, you know, you have your right to your property, but then the other link, the other loop comes in, and it forms this bond where you have property in your rights, meaning the very things that you have property in, all these things, mental, physical, your religious opinions, all, and your rights. You have property in your rights, which means those are just like those other things. Your rights are just like the things you think, the things you believe, your religious expression of them, so on and so forth. And you have those rights to the exclusion of everyone else, and everyone else has the like advantage. In other words, he's saying property is a big deal. It's not just what you have. It's what you think, what you do with what you think, your quote-unquote intellectual property. It is also your religious expression, and it is, in fact, your rights. Let me read that word again, that sentence again. In a word, as a man is said to have a right to his property, he may be equally said to have a property in his rights, right? Now, this is a really important concept that has been completely lost in discussions about property. And in my opinion, the government is governments at all levels are taking property rights with way too of a cavalier attitude, so to speak. I mean, they're just not being as protective of property rights as they should be. The last sentence in this little section, I thought this was important, because here what Madison does in this last sentence is instruct future generations. He says, where an excess of power prevails, we are in an excess of power. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. Where an excess of power prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. In other words, when power is too strong, the government or the powers that be will not respect property. I think that's what's happening now. At least that's the trend. Then he says, no man is safe in his opinions, his person, his faculties, or his possessions. He didn't say no man is safe in his possessions. He said no man is safe in his opinions, in his very person. I've put very in there. That's not Madison. In his person, his faculties, or his possessions. So what we think, who we are, our very being, how we use our minds, what we create with our minds, and what we have is all property in the American ideal. And we have a right to that property, to that thing, to all those things, I should say. So,
you know what? Let's go to break. Okay. This is fascinating. And there is such an assault on this. And I don't know if we're going to get this totally unpacked in this whole, we may have to do another show on this, but we're going to go to break. This is Kim Munson with the AmeriChicks. We're talking with Roger Bianco and James Madison and property. And this is absolutely so important. So we'll be right back.
Dan Predovich and his team at Predovich & Company help your business plan ahead financially. The AmeriChicks with Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company as your financial business consultant. Predovich & Company will take care of your tax preparation, bookkeeping, and business advisory services. Dan Predovich and his team want to learn the unique needs of your business through real, honest dialogue. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call 303-791-3000 to start preparing now for next year's tax season. Organize your business finances with Predovich & Company. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Presidential Wealth Management has educated thousands of Coloradans at our free financial education classes. Our Lakewood class will be held at the Lakewood Library on Tuesday, May 14th and Thursday, May 16th at 6 p.m. Go to chickspresidential.com to sign up online or call 303-694-1600 and make your reservation with Natalie.
Come join the 88 Drive-In for all your favorite blockbuster movies. We're open 7 days a week. Admission is only $9 per person, and children under 12 are free. Friday, May 10th through Thursday, May 16th, features will include Pokemon Detective Pikachu, Avengers Endgame, and Captain Marvel. And remember our popular Monday through Thursday pizza special? Get one 12-inch pizza served fresh and hot from our oven and two tall, cool 16-ounce sodas, all for only $12. Plus, now you can top it all off with our new sweet, crunchy churros and a steaming cup of hot chocolate. For more information, go to our Facebook page or visit our website at 88drivein.net.
You get more out of life when you go out to a movie.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson, where we dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left, agree or disagree. Let's have a conversation. Be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com. Sign up for my emails and like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. Roger Bianco, we have you in studio. I can feel myself. I'm talking faster and faster because there's so much great information here. We're talking about property.
Yeah.
There has been such an assault on property. And the amendment to the Constitution where we decided that we would tax income, I think was a real assault on property rights, on the hard things, you know. Yeah. Because if you to actually tax, and then a progressive tax where if you take more risk, maybe create more whatever, that you get taxed even more, it's antithetical to the American idea. But we're talking. Also, you wanted to make a point about intellectual property.
Yeah.
You know, what we think. And we've seen such an assault on that by this movement of, I am offended.
Yeah.
I am being bullied. You know, Molly and I used to laugh. It's when we were in eighth grade, you know, it's like, I was bullied, and I probably bullied as well, under what the definition is now. I mean, yeah. Kids being kids. We need to equip kids to be able to deal with those kinds of things. But now we've been moving to victimhood, but also being offended, which shuts down somebody else being able to give their opinion about things.
So, yeah, and the issue extends to, you know, the bottom line is if property, the idea, the American idea of property is laid out here by James Madison is not defended, rigorously defended. You get things like what happens up in Canada, where pronouns, you have to use certain pronouns. I don't know if you listen, I think it's James Peterson.
Jordan Peterson.
Podcast. He's a big thinker. He's mm-hmm. touring the world, and he's astonished and amazed at the response he's gotten. It's actually somewhat comforting that he's gotten this response, because I think people intuitively know this. That was, as I understand it, you have to use certain pronouns under penalty of law. In other words, your words are a reflection of your thought, right? And so what they're trying to do is, through words, control thought, mm-hmm. which is a violation of your opinions, your person, your faculties, well, and your possessions, because you possess your mind. And so it gets beyond the stuff that you have. So even in academic circles, that this is a big issue. My daughter and my wife and I were touring a campus in the Northwest, and the professor who was head of this genetics department, I think I'd mentioned this last time, she had mentioned, she was beside herself, and I don't think that if her and I sat and talked about politics, we would agree on much, but we would agree on this, and that she was beside herself that you can't even bring up certain discussion topics without a student saying, oh, you know, that triggers me and I'm offended. And so then they cut it off. Now, that's not governmental abuse of property, but that's cultural abuse of property, which is a big problem, which lays the gut, right? Politics is downhill from culture, downstream from culture. So government is now starting to, as you see in Canada, starting to violate property rights by trying to control thought.
Well, and a perfect example of this, and Nicole Martin was one of our speakers, and she was, wow, she knocked it out of the park on our Stanford, Colorado rally. And she was one of the attorneys for Jack Phillips in the Masterpiece Cake Shop.
Great.
And now you mentioned certainly the property in your religious perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's really, you know, where Jack came down on that. But I looked at it also a little differently.
Yeah.
And that is this culture and then government has started to redefine words.
Yeah.
In this case, the words marriage. Redefine words. And basically, government said to Jack and bureaucrat said to Jack, which was the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, which is appointed by politicians. And again, I think we need to reduce the number of commissions.
Oh, God, yes.
You know what? Because these are unelected bureaucrats. They're unanswerable to us. And this is a way for politicians then to push these decisions off that they want to have made.
Yeah.
But then they don't have to have the political reality of being reelected for that. But anyway, so if what happened is government said, if you do not adhere to this new definition, then we are going to use the force of government to take your business.
Yeah.
And that's wrong.
That is his property right. His religious expression is his property right. His physical bake shop is his property right. What he does with it is his right. And I'm not saying that it's your right to discriminate, but this is a question.
I actually think the free market can figure it out.
Yeah, the free market can figure it out. I remember in Indiana, the similar thing about the pizzas. Did you remember this case?
I do.
Yeah. So I remember getting, I can't remember what the town was, Fishers, Indiana or something like that. And so for those of you who don't remember, it was the same-sex wedding wanted, the reception wanted to order pizzas, and the guy said, no, I don't want to. Same reason why Jack mm-hmm. Phillips didn't want to build the cake and so or make the cake. And so I just Googled pizza places in Fishers, and I got probably, I don't know, thousands upon thousands, a lot of duplicates. But there were at least scores of other places they could go get pizza. And you just kind of go, well, so now what you've created is this environment of competing rights. And this is inherently unhealthy. So is the property right, which was established as part of the American ideal with substance behind it and very important ideas, it's not important just because it was used by the founders, but it's important why the founders used it and what property is, or your right to get a pizza?
Do you have a right to get a pizza?
Do you have a right to get a pizza, or do you have a right to your property? In my mind, the right to property is paramount. It is absolutely paramount, and it is a hill we must die on. I mean, I think there's none, but the problem is we're violating this, right? The Kelo case, which established traditionally eminent domain is what's used, the tool that's used, and this is more of a physical property thing, but for something is used for public use. It usually was intended, I believe, to be temporary and to a degree militarily. Like I live on a hill in Douglas County, and maybe they might want to use my home as a base or a you know, fort in case we're being
attacked,
invaded or something. I mean, this is all hypothetical and stuff, but that would be a legitimate use for public use. But what the Kelo decision did was extend it to public purpose. Well, goodness, the loaded word in there, obviously the shift from use to purpose, but the real word I think is the impact it has on the word public. Have you ever noticed that anyone who wants to nationalize something, whoever wants to discuss the virtues of a government action, just simply puts the word public in front of it? Public library. Mm-hmm. Bernie Sanders did it, one of his campaign things, I think, in last election cycle in Indiana, in front of the public library, and the word public library. In other words, he's supposed to be, you know, there's a virtue there with something that is quote unquote public or public school, right? Mm-hmm. You just put public in front of something, and some people think that makes it virtuous. I actually think it makes it a monopoly, and it lays down, if use of the word public lays down or clears the path for violating property rights.
It does. And from my time on city council, I saw that. And we're just about out of time. So can I have you back?
Sure.
Why don't we do this again next month on property rights? What would you say that you'd like to have the big takeaway for today be, Roger, in this whole conversation that we've had?
So I'd say it's number one, that the idea of property is timeless, and it's not just because it was in the at the founding. That's an inadequate explanation, but that the reasons why property was there at the founding of the substance, and that is number one, that the idea of property goes beyond, or number two, I should say, the idea goes beyond your physical things. It goes to your religious expression. It goes to your what's in your mind and what you create, and that's important because property can be used to try to control what you think, and that's profoundly wrong. And then as you look at the trends, maybe we'll talk about this next time, but these public takings and the like, that folks is laying the groundwork, if not just outright violating your right to property, because if they can take someone else's car for an unproven or arbitrary reason, they can do it to you too. And they can also try to control your thoughts. So that's it.
Well, and it's so interesting that you actually gave my quote already today, James Madison. I thought I would.
Worth repeating.
Okay. And he said, where an excess of power prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. No man is safe in his opinions, his person, his faculties, or his possessions. And we are seeing such an assault. And that was James Madison, fourth president of the United States. We are seeing such an assault on this by this quote unquote being offended. And we will talk about this again, and that is that I've seen the far left now. They take something that is good, something that we value, you know, like clean air and clean water, and then they're using that to just really take other people's property. Yeah.
The ironic thing is that's the religious right really never did that I know of. It's really interesting.
It is very interesting. So, okay, we're going to get a date. We're going to have you back in June.
Thank you.
So this is Kim Munson. Today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry. But tell them if I don't survive, I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.